We also talk a lot about stress these days. It's such a key word. Everybody is stressed out, or it's so much. It's a catchword, and we use it so much these days, and I think it's really become a cop-out word, too. Oh, I'm so stressed out, or this is so stressful. It's all this stress, you know. But think about what stress really means. You know, stress, to me, equals fear. So next time you're thinking about how stressed you are, ask yourself what you're frightened about. Ask yourself how you're overloading yourself. How are you burdening yourself? What are you doing to yourself that's creating this fear within you so that you don't have inner harmony and peace? Don't just use it as a word to be a cop-out. Stress is not inner harmony. Inner harmony is being at peace with yourself. And when you're at peace with yourself, you do things one thing at a time, and you don't let things get to you. You can't have stress and inner harmony at the same time. They don't equate. So I see stress as fear. And ask yourself then, if you're feeling stressed, how can I release this fear? How can I be at peace with myself? What can I do? Nothing has any power over you. And don't give a little word like stress a lot of power. You are the power. You are powerful. You're the one that can make the change. So to me, love is the answer. And if we're going to make changes, it has to come from a loving space of the heart, so that the changes will be permanent. Well, they'll be permanent. And when you love yourself, life is so much easier and much more fun. And people resist loving themselves so much. I know I did at the beginning. But really, when you do, it's just so much more fun. It really is. You enjoy life. You wake up in the morning and you're glad to find yourself there. Start connecting with yourself. Support yourself. Really do wonderful things for yourself. And then you can easily and effortlessly give to the world. It won't be a struggle at all. And that light that you're using to go within and find your own love, you'll be able to carry like a beacon for other people who are still in darkness. Remember, every person that learns to love themselves makes it that much easier for other people to do it too. Becoming enlightened is finding your own light and then shining it for other people. And know that you can do it. You're really powerful. And you can make the changes that you want. Just take the first step and keep going. Little step after step after step. You know, don't insist that you do it all in one leap. Take the steps. Remember, impatience is a resistance to learning. That's all it is. It's like you want the answer without learning the lesson or doing the steps. So, you know, ask yourself, what is it I need to do next? And even if you don't know the answer, the very fact that you're asking it, the universe will hear and will present it in front of you. They'll say, this is what you need next. And then maybe you say, oh, no, but I don't want to do that. As I said before, I want to create a world where it's safe for people to love each other, where we can all do that. I don't want dependency. I don't want people to be dependent on me. That's not what I'm looking for at all. I don't want to be a guru or a healer. I'm just a simple lady with a simple message of love yourself and get your act together. I want you all to be healthy and prosperous and loving and peaceful and filled with joy, because that's going to make a better world for me to live in. All right, let's do questions. I see there's a mic here and a mic there and there and there. So, yes.
What I was going to ask about is going through all this process myself, I found how easy it is to be negative. And it's
sounds
sort of like a natural,
an old family pattern.
Yeah, well, it probably is.
Yeah,
but it seems to be very easy and very natural.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what the source of it is. Why is it so pervasive? It seems like it's sort of everywhere. It's the natural way.
It's not everywhere. No, it is not natural, and it is not everywhere, though it's a lot of places. And if you're a person who thinks negatively all the time, you will attract to yourself other people who do it, and you think the whole world is full of it. However, as you do make the changes, then again, you connect with other like-minded people, and you'll find that probably your circle of friends will change. Either they will change themselves, or you'll have different people. So it sounds like you're also in that transition period of going from one to another, and the old pattern of being thinking very negatively just keeps bouncing up. But, you know, if you keep practicing, it'll work. It really will.
Okay, thank you.
That's my belief anyway. All right, there's a microphone up here, I see.
Louise?
I'll go. Yes?
First, I'd like you to know that there is something new and special in the Boston area. It's a women's healing circle. One of my friends in the circle and I have been discussing is, we know we can use affirmations to change our attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that our thoughts and our meditations can send love and peace to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But can we affirm and affect a specific person's attitudes or actions towards us?
No, that's manipulation. You can't do that. If you do, it'll boomerang. No, you can see them in love and light and know that they're at peace with themselves. But you can't manipulate their actions. You don't know what their spiritual lesson is. And you really don't have any right to interfere. Like, you wouldn't want somebody doing that to you. And you may think that what you're wanting for them is the best for them. But if it really was, maybe they'd have it.
We're just talking about sending and receiving love back
and forth. Oh, love is fine. Oh, yes. I mean, as long as it isn't a specific thing.
No, just...
Okay.
Love and kindness. And
you can do that for the whole planet. And peace. Oh, that's a wonderful thing to do. That's what I'm talking about, sending out thoughts and connected with other like-minded people.
And that they return it to us.
Whether they do or not.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Deal with people in, say, a work environment that are constantly negative, and you're being positive, but that negativity is around you?
Well, one, it's interesting that you're in a work environment where everybody's negative and you're positive. You know, I'm wondering why that is. Why don't you start knowing for yourself that you always work in an area what is peaceful and joyful, where people really appreciate you and appreciate life. And don't say that so-and-so has to be that way, but start knowing for yourself that this is where you work. These are the kind of people that you are surrounded with. Because by doing that, you can either help them change some of their stuff because they'll be responding differently, or you may find yourself in another place where people are like that. You know, and when you think of them, don't think about how negative they are. You know, everybody has every quality in them. And respond to the joyfulness or the peacefulness or the respect or whatever that's in them. And start knowing that they have those qualities and they can come to the surface.
Even though they're constantly saying negative things.
Well, I wouldn't pay attention to that. Because we want to get your consciousness to change.
But if your own consciousness changes, there are enough people around that are negative. How do you get...
When your consciousness really changes, they won't do it. Or you won't be there. So they're still reflecting something within you. What do I need to work on myself? What is the main thing that you complain about them?
But if they're also negative to other people,
mm-hmm.
not to me per se,
mm-hmm.
but negative, always negative to other people.
Okay. Why are you there?
In a particular organization.
Why are you there?
I like it there.
Oh, you like it there?
No.
Okay. Start affirming that you're always surrounded by wonderful people that see life in the most positive way and that are a joy to work with and be around.
Thanks.
Okay? All right. It's your consciousness. Yes.
Me?
Yes. Yes, up there. Whoever's up there.
I guess I heard a lot of things tonight that really felt incredibly good, but I do have one burning question.
Sure.
And that's, where does God fit into all this? I hear you talking about the power that I can have,
mm-hmm.
but yet in my recovery program, I'm learning that I am powerless and I have to ask for help. How does the affirmation...
When you turn to the power within you, that to me is God. Now, I purposely don't use the word God because I find that it turns off a lot of people. But to me, all the words that I use are really speaking of God, because God is all that is, you know.
It's us.
And I don't see any separation at all. I think that you are being powerful when you choose your higher power, when you turn to your higher power. Now, you may be, according to the group that you're in, powerless over a certain situation, but not when you turn to your higher power. You know, it's your connection. The more you turn to your higher power, the more powerful you become. And I think it's just a little bit of semantics there, but I don't think there's any difference in the meaning. Okay? Yes? Speak to me.
My name is Peter.
Oh, hello, Peter.
I've never spoken in front of a room this big before.
Well, you have now, honey. You are doing it.
I guess my question is really simple, and it's how. I live in a big city by myself.
Uh-huh.
I don't have that many close friends.
Uh-huh.
And living alone, I guess, what can I do to bring this stuff into myself when I am by myself?
Okay, you know, it's interesting because I can't tell you how many couples will say, oh, if I were only by myself, it would be so easy to do this. It works both ways.
If only I had a companion.
If only you had a companion. Well, what are you doing to create one? You just wish?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's what a lot of people do. What do you believe about yourself? Do you believe you're lovable?
I'd like to.
Well, what's stopping you? There's someone down here eager. As long as you're there, why don't you state your requirements? You may not get out of this room.
I'll tell you one of the things I'm doing. I'm here tonight.
Yes, that's wonderful. Okay, good. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm not making fun of you because many of us are in the same place. You know, it's one of the reasons that I think the support groups are so wonderful. Get with other people who are also studying, and it helps. It's wonderful if you can have like-minded people that are doing it together. And if you can get a friend who's doing it also, that's just wonderful. But first of all, observe your thoughts. Notice what you're thinking, and if, like this gentleman here, he says, I see negative thoughts all the time, well, that's not a bad thing. It means you're noticing them. You're seeing what can be changed. Start noticing what you're thinking, and maybe write down some of your thoughts every so often and say, are these beliefs going to create the things I want in life? And if not, what could I do? What could I start thinking? There are lots of books and tapes out. Not only mine, but many people have wonderful books and tapes up that you can get ideas, and you just begin where you are. And also you say, I'm willing to change. You know, and the thing I love is this, I'm open and receptive to wonderful, good experiences coming into my life. It's this. You know, you don't say, oh, I'm looking for a new lover. where I'm open and receptive to, and then state what you want. Start letting the word go out mentally. But I think it's wonderful. You're here and you're ready for the next step. You'll do it. Okay, all right, the lady here. Your turn. I'm doing this way.
I was wondering, when you're in the healing process and you're making a lot of changes, how do you express anger without feeling guilty?
Okay, she says, when you're in the healing process and you're experiencing a lot of changes, how do you express anger as positively as you can? The thing is that a lot of people get on the spiritual pathway and they think, oh, I must not be angry, I must only forgive, you know? And that's wonderful when you get to that point. But in the transition period, there's a lot of rage inside. And it's good if you let it out. And you can do that in positive ways. You can kick pillows, you can scream in the car, you can take a tennis racket and smash the bed or something like that. But let yourself have a physical expression. If you can be with a therapist who's good at working at releasing anger, that's wonderful. If you can be in a support group where they work on those things, that's great too. There are many ways that you can do it. But you don't want to deny your feelings. Remember, anger is not bad. Babies get angry. Babies get livid, and you know it. But they express it immediately, and then it's gone. It's all gone. We swallow it and smile. And we do that over and over again, and it lodges in our bodies, and it becomes resentment, and that's when we get into trouble. So if you're in the process of making changes and you're having feelings come up, whatever they are, flow with them. And if they're too intense for you to handle, get yourself to a therapist or a support group so you can do it in a safe setting. But don't deny your feelings ever. And don't try to be, you know, to not have them. Because you are having them. That's why they were given to you, to get you through situations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes.
I'm a nurse, and mm-hmm. I deal with a lot of people that are suffering and in pain and dying.
Yes.
And I find that it's hard for me to separate when I go home. I take that home with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding that I can't separate sometimes, especially in dealing with AIDS patients. I find that the grief is so overwhelming sometimes.
Yes.
And I'm wondering
what do you do then? What do you do when it's so overwhelming?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm mm-hmm. working.
Do you let yourself have hysterics?
No.
Well, I think you'd better. You can't hold that stuff. You know, the AIDS is bringing up so many issues for people that they don't know how to deal with. And when we see a lot of suffering, it really hurts. And you can't just pretend it doesn't exist. You have to give your feelings an outlet. And if you're really feeling a lot of intense feelings, let yourself have them. Let yourself cry. Let yourself do something. Let yourself look in the mirror and scream it isn't fair or whatever you feel inside. Let it out, because you're only going to create problems for your own body. You know, one of the things with AIDS is that the grieving process takes a full year to begin to get over when someone dies. You have to go through all the seasons. And after that, you begin to let go. But what happens if somebody's dying every 6 months, or every 3 months, or every month, or every week? How do you handle the grieving process? Because you don't really get to get into it, and you never get out of it. And many people are dealing with these issues, and it's almost like being a war. People just don't know how to handle it. And those people that are working with AIDS are dealing, I keep thinking of it, it's like sailing on uncharted waters with no map and doing the best you can. And there's a lot of intense feelings that are there. And you have to take care of yourself the best you can. And I know it's not easy. Yes.
I've been recovering from an illness for about a year in surgery,
mm-hmm.
and using your positive affirmations, and really have had a very, very positive year. But medically, I have to have lab work done about every 3 months, and it keeps coming back saying, contrary to what I am saying, my positive affirmations, and I really get confused with what to do with that.
Well, are you working with your doctor?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
I'm working. He's doing the medical stuff.
Yes, and you're doing the
doing the healing stuff.
All right. Well, is he doing something positive for you too?
He's a real positive person, and he's very positive about feeling that I'm going to have full recovery. The lab work just isn't cooperating.
Well, don't give too much importance to lab work. You know, a lot of people are doing that, especially people with T cells. They go up and down, and the numbers decide whether you're going to be happy or not. You know, how do you feel?
I've had an excellent year.
All right, you've had an excellent year.
Yes.
All right, and you're working well with your doctor, and you're working on yourself, and that's their game. You know, let them, I wouldn't even look at them. You know, let your doctor have that. He needs that information. Let him have that. And you just keep knowing for yourself. You do everything you can for your own health and to improve the quality of your life. And don't let those numbers tell you that you're sick if you're feeling well. Go on what you're feeling.
Thank you.
Okay, dear. Yes.
I have a body question.
Sure.
I need your advice, or what techniques can you tell me about that would help me to accept a part of my body that I cannot change. It's a birth defect. It's specifically, it's my two legs are different sizes, and one leg is considerably, well, I feel that it's considerably larger and than the other one, and I have a difficult time accepting this. It's not an everyday disease or whatever, so there are no affirmations. I don't know what affirmation I could say to myself or what techniques I could
do. I appreciate the miracle of my body.
Okay.
According to Vogue magazine, let's say, it may not be, you know, the perfect thing, but that is really nonsense. You know, no baby has ever measured its hips to find its self-worth.
Thank you.
And your self-worth has nothing to do with the size of your legs. It really doesn't. Your self-worth has to do with how you feel about yourself. You know, if you weren't picking on your legs, what would you be picking on about yourself?
Well, I'm too busy picking on my leg. I can't pick up something.
Well, you know, it's sort of a limited way of thinking, and it's a waste of time because you really have a lot to do in this world.
Okay.
You know, I don't know why this particular condition is part of you. It is, and that's just what it is. And you can make a big deal out of it, or you can get on with your life and just enjoy and love who you are. And, you know, that to me, remember, your self-worth has nothing to do with that. And it has nothing to do with your lovability.
Okay,
you are lovable.
Thank you very much.
All right, sweetheart. Yes.
People that we choose our parents. You also said there are some people who have AIDS whose parents reject them. Did they choose those parents?
Oh, I think so. Not only do I think that they chose the parents, but I think the parents chose them. I think it works both ways. You know, it's part of the lessons that we've come here to learn. And sometimes we need to have a lesson of opening a heart that is very closed. You know, and we give ourselves like a little obstacle or something. But I think everything is in perfect order. I think the parents that you have are absolutely perfect for you. That's why you're here. You know, if you had really made a mistake by choosing those parents, you would have gotten out very, very early. But if you're here now, they were the perfect ones. And the stuff you need to work out with them is the stuff you need to work out with them. That's part of what it is this time around.
Yes.
I may need to have some work to do with this.
Yes. No, you don't. You know, you don't have to believe everything I say. And if you're sort of new to these ideas, it really pushes a button when you say, you know, you chose your parents. I mean, I know the first time I heard that, I went, well, you've got to be kidding. You know?
Thank you for saying that.
Yes. But the more that you really start examining it, the more it makes sense to me. It really does. So whatever I'm saying tonight, you know, if you walk out of here with one sentence that can help you improve the quality of your life, that's wonderful. You don't have to get it all. Just get what you can and work with it. I support your growth and I love you all. Bless you. What we'd like to do now is a nice meditation. Let's turn the lights down if we could. If you'd like, close your eyes. I don't really understand how they can take my voice and make it sound like this. But it's part of the new brainwave technology. All right, we've talked of many things tonight. We've stirred the pot. We've pushed a lot of buttons. And a lot of awakenings for many people. And this is wonderful. Each one of us here tonight, myself included, has learned something that will help us improve the quality of our lives.
connection with the other people and feel the love that is in this room and know that you're part of it. And the love in this room can move from heart to heart. And as your love goes around this room, it comes back to you multiplied. For this room tonight has become an incredible circle of love. In the center of the circle, surrounded by love, safe, at peace, and in harmony with all of life. The ability to love your life and to love yourself.